The Old Testament reading for the third midweek Lenten service is from Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses throughout all the land of Egypt. The land was ruined by the swarms of flies." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Please rise. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today are the fifth and sixth commandments, and our sermon title is Protecting Our Neighbor's Body, Spouse, and Child. In our Lenten midweek services this year, we are reviewing the Ten Commandments. The purpose of the sermons, I repeat, is to show us our sins, to be sorry for our sins, and to place our faith and trust in Jesus, who has paid for our sins and kept all these commandments perfectly for us. For these meditations, we are listening to what Martin Luther teaches us about the Ten Commandments in his large catechism, and that is part of the confessional writings of our church. I'm reading here only portions of that treatise. For this week, I encourage you to read the entire explanations for the fifth and sixth commandments for your own devotions. And you can find the text online at www.bookofconcord.org. What is the fifth commandment? You shall not kill. What does this mean? Luther explains, and I quote at length. In the first through fourth commandments, we have dealt with both the spiritual and temporal government, that is, the divine and the paternal authority and obedience. But here in the fifth to tenth commandments, we go forth from our house among our neighbors to learn how we should live with one another, everyone himself toward his neighbor. Therefore, God and government are not included in this fifth commandment, nor is the power to kill, which God and the government possess, taken away by this commandment. For God has delegated his authority to punish evildoers to the government. Therefore, what is here forbidden is forbidden to the individual in his relation to everyone else, and it is not forbidden to the government. Now, this commandment is easy enough and has been often treated because we hear it annually in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 and following, where Christ himself explains and sums it up, namely, that we must not kill, neither with hand, heart, mouth, signs, gestures, help, nor counsel. Therefore, it is here forbidden to everyone to be angry, except those, as we said, who are in the place of God, that is, parents and the government. For it is proper for God and for everyone who is placed in a divine estate, like parents and rulers, to be angry, to reprove and punish their children or subjects, namely, the very persons who transgress this and the other commandments. The cause and the need of this commandment is that God well knows that the world is evil and that this life has much unhappiness. Therefore, he has placed this and the other commandments between the good and the evil. Now, as there are many assaults upon all commandments, so it also happens in this commandment that we must live among many people who do us harm, so that we have cause to be hostile toward them. For example, this happens when your neighbor sees that you have a better house and home, a larger family, and more fertile fields, greater possessions, and more fortune from God than he. Then he becomes sulky. He envies you and speaks no good of you. Thus, by the devil's incitement, you will get many enemies who cannot bear to see you have any good, either bodily or spiritual. And when we see such people, our hearts, in turn, would rage and take vengeance against them. Then there arise cursing and blows, from which follow, finally, misery and murder. Here now, God, just like a kind father, steps in ahead of us. He interposes and wishes to have the quarrel settled, that no misfortune come of it, nor one destroy the other. And briefly, he would hereby protect, set free, and keep in peace everyone against the crimes and violence of everyone else, and would have this commandment placed as a wall, fortress, and refuge about our neighbor, that we do know him no hurt or harm in his body. Thus, this commandment aims at this, that no one offend his neighbor on account of any evil deed, even though he has fully deserved it. For where murder is forbidden, all cause of murder is also forbidden, from which murder might originate. For many a person, although he does not kill, yet he will curse and utter a wish toward his neighbor, which, if it were fulfilled, that neighbor would not live long. Now, since this inheres in everyone by nature, and it is a common practice that no one is willing to suffer at the hands of another person, God wishes to remove the root and source by which the heart is embittered against our neighbor, and to accustom us ever to keep in view this commandment. God wants us always to contemplate ourselves in the fifth commandment, as in a mirror, to regard the will of God, and with hearty confidence and invocation of his name, to commit to God the wrong which we suffer. Thus we shall allow our enemies to rage and be angry, doing what they can, and we learn to calm our wrath and to have a patient and gentle heart, especially toward those who give us cause to be angry, that is, our enemies. End of quote from the fifth commandment. What is the sixth commandment? You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? Luther also explains, and I quote at length, "These commandments that follow the fourth commandment are arranged in a fine and elegant order. In the first place, they treat of our neighbor's own person and body, as we have just heard. Then they proceed to the person nearest to him, or the closest possession next to him after his body, namely his wife, who is one flesh and blood with him, so that we cannot inflict a higher injury upon him in any good that is his. Therefore, it is explicitly forbidden here to bring any disgrace upon our neighbor in respect to his wife. And it really aims at adultery, because among the Jews it was ordained and commanded that everyone must be married. Among the Jews, it was normal that all the young were early on provided with a spouse, so that the virgin state was rare, and held in small esteem. Neither were public prostitution and lewdness tolerated as it is now. Therefore, adultery was the most common form of unchastity among them. But because among us there is such a shameful mess and the very dregs of all vice and lewdness, this commandment is directed also against all manner of unchastity, whatever it might be called. Not only is the external act forbidden to each one of us, but also every kind of cause, incitement, and means, so that the heart, the lips, and the whole body may be chaste, and afford no opportunity, help, or persuasion towards unchastity. And not only this, but we also should make resistance, offer protection to, and rescue our neighbor whenever there is danger and need. And again, that we give help and counsel to maintain our neighbor's honor. For whenever you omit this, when you could make resistance to this type of evil, or when you connive as if it didn't concern you, you are as truly guilty as the one who is perpetuating the deed. Thus, to state it in the briefest manner, there is required this much, that everybody live chastely himself and help his neighbor do the same, so that God, by this commandment, wishes to hedge around about and protect us as with a fence or rampart, and every spouse, so that no one trespass against them. But since this commandment is aimed directly at the state of matrimony and gives occasion to speak of the same, you must well understand and mark first how gloriously God honors and extols this estate, inasmuch as by his commandment he both sanctions and guards it. He has sanctioned it above in the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. But here he has, as we said, hedged it about and protected it. Therefore, he also wishes us to honor it and to maintain and conduct it as a divine and blessed estate. Because in the first place, he has instituted marriage before all other estates, and therefore created man and woman separately, as is evident, not for lewdness, but that they should legitimately live together, be fruitful, beget children, and nourish and train those children to the honor of God. Therefore, God has also most richly blessed this estate above all others, and in addition has bestowed on it and wrapped up in it everything in the world, to the end that this estate might be well and richly provided for. Married life is therefore no jest or presumption, but it is an excellent thing and a matter of divine seriousness. For it is of the utmost importance to God that offspring be raised who may serve the world and promote the knowledge of God, godly living, and all virtues, so that they may fight against wickedness and the devil. So far, Luther's explanations of these two commandments. If you've heard these words, you will see how you have sinned and where you need to repent. Even so, may our Lord forgive our sins for Jesus' sake and adorn our souls with the perfect obedience which Jesus accomplished for us, so that we may live in his presence here on earth and hereafter in eternity. For Jesus' sake, amen.